These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Well, this was supposed to be a Jim Pete Thursday, and I promised the audience that his travel schedule, this is from like 2 days ago, his travel schedule was shaping up. We're like, hey, we got to be on a flight to Denver. So we are not bumping Jim. Jim is not ducking this podcast. Jim is on a plane right now because the Timberwolves are playing for first place in the Western Conference, Kyle. That's on the court. Things are going great. They have a chance to go back to the one seed. But off the court with the ownership situation, everything blew up today. And that's what we're going to go through and talk about and sift through all the reporting. We've got a 2-minute clip from Glenn Taylor himself. Wasn't expecting this to be the breaking news today with the Timberwolves headed out west to Denver tomorrow.
Yeah, I've said many times, this is my 7th season covering the team. And last night, we are less than 24 hours away from the Minnesota Timberwolves winning their 50th game of the season. The first time they have done so since the 2003-04 season. A little stat here from Elias. Before we created Flagrant Howls a couple summers ago, the Wolves' winning percentage was 39% as a franchise. Mm. Since we've done Flagrant Howls, the Wolves' winning percentage is 59%. So,
I mean,
little credit to us. But yeah, last night was a celebration. 50 wins. I think I said it was like the fifth time now in 35 years. You wake up today, you're excited. You're a half game back. Nuggets lose last night. Thunder lose last night. It's like, okay, we have gone so many months just talking basketball, and then that dumb movie I keep referencing, but when Ricky Bobby's dad at Applebee's is just like, everything's going a little too smoothly, I need to start a fight with the waitress. That's how we are enjoying our Thursday morning.
Yeah, and we have to figure out who started the fight with the waitress. Was it Glenn Taylor, or was it Mark and Alex? We'll sift through this stuff. But yeah, to, like, on the court, I was all ready to hit you with the question today. Like, do the Wolves need to avoid the Rockets in the first round? Like, are we at that point in the discussion now? But maybe we can squeeze in some basketball talk and a random Wolf of the Week for sure. But let's just start. I'm going to read the statement from Glenn Taylor, and then we're going to go through some other reporting. We've both done our own digging on this as well, and we're going to sift through what happened today. So here's the press release that sparked everything this morning. Glenn Taylor, chairman of Taylor Sports Group, this morning confirmed the expiration of the option of Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez to acquire controlling interest in the Wolves and the Lynx. Under terms of the purchase agreement, the closing was required to occur within 90 days following the exercise notice issued by Lowry and A-Rod. That 90-day period expired yesterday on March 27, 2024. Under certain circumstances, the buyer could have been entitled to a limited extension. However, those circumstances did not occur. It's a very vague and cryptic line in this press release. We can come back to that. Quote from Glenn Taylor, "I will continue to work with Mark and Alex and the rest of the ownership group to ensure our teams have the necessary resources to compete at the highest levels on and off the court. The Timberwolves and Lynx are no longer for sale."
Mic drop.
Buried the lead there, by the way. Like, how about the first sentence of this press release being, "The Timberwolves and Lynx are no longer for sale," and then getting into it. But that was the mic drop final line. So there's a bunch of other stuff coming out here. I'd love to play for you our own Darren Doogie Wolfson, who you can find on Minnesota Sports with Mackey and Judd, scoops on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's been reporting on this for like 2 years. But he actually sat down on the record with Glenn Taylor. And I just want to play you like a 2-minute clip of Doogie talking to Glenn Taylor here earlier today on 5 Eyewitness News, okay?
Glenn, just take us through what exactly happened today.
Well, we had an agreement that these Alex and Mark had proposed to us that over a 3 or 4 year period of time, they would buy in with the Timberwolves. And they had given us dates that they would, what they called each tranche, they would pay for. So this was like the third one, which would be March 27th. And they could have prepaid it, but just had difficulty getting it done. And the March 27th date passed, and they didn't complete the contract. So we think at that point we voided the contract, and we'll just leave it as it is right now. They have bought in their 36% of ownership in the Timberwolves, which they can keep, and I'll keep the controlling interest. And the other limiteds that we have will stay in, and we'll just continue to move ahead with that. And then I won't have the team for sale. We'll just keep running it like I have been for these many years.
Is today frustrating at all?
No, it's not frustrating. I mean, this was a proposal they had made, and if they were able to do it, that was fine with me. If they were not able to do it, that was fine with me. I mean, I enjoy the ownership of the Timberwolves.
Were you led to believe they didn't have the money? They do have the money? Like, I'm just wondering if, like, litigation is now going to happen.
I never got involved if they have the money or don't have the money. They never gave that to me one way or another. So I'm not in a position to really respond on that.
So that was Glenn Taylor with Doogie for 5 Eyewitness News. And Kyle, so John Krasinski came in from The Athletic, and he talked to Glenn Taylor on the record. And Glenn said, quote, just to add a little bit more seasoning here, "We're just saying we had a contract with you guys. You've had your time. This is the end of the contract, March 27th. It's been," and I'm paraphrasing here, "it's been 2 or 3 years." Back to the direct quote, "We're just kind of going to go on running the way that we've been run. I just think I built this team. We've got the players now. And it appears to me that we should have a very positive run for a number of years. And I want to be part of that," Glenn Taylor says. On the A-Rod and Lori side, here's a statement from a spokesperson on behalf of Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez. Quote, "We are disappointed with Glenn Taylor's public statement today. We have fulfilled our obligations, have all the necessary funding, and are fully committed to closing our purchase of the team as soon as the NBA completes its approval process. Glenn Taylor's statement is an unfortunate case of seller's remorse that is short-sighted and disruptive to the team and the fans during an historic winning season." And Adrian Wojnarowski drops one last nugget and says, "The relationship between Taylor, Lori, and A-Rod disintegrated over the past 2+ years, sources tell ESPN. Lori and A-Rod did raise money necessary to purchase controlling interest, but Taylor contends they didn't meet contractual deadlines throughout the transition." Wow.
I appreciate you. We talk on this pod, I think, more than any other Timberwolves pod, just kind of about media and how this all works. I also think we should touch on that a little bit today, too, but I appreciate you getting the car on the interstate here like a real adult, because I'm going to take it 90 different ways. I haven't seen anyone yet. And this, I want to just get out in front of this too, because I've said before, I don't want to be a reporter. I think everyone that anyone listens to, this is just my stance, anyone that you follow or listen to covering this, I don't think you need to take sides. I know Doogie's a friend. I know he's been kind of ridiculed at times throughout this. I think everyone is getting valid information from different people. The one thing that I have not seen yet today, as of 12:11 on the West Coast, if you had to draft or power rank the craziest aspects of this today, do you know what with a bullet is number one? It is that this is major news, major news. And neither Shams nor Woj had this.
Mm-hmm.
This was... I can't tell you. I'm on the emails from Wolves PR. To draft a press release that takes time and has to be reviewed, and I'm pretty sure it's reviewed by legal, to be the Wolves. I mean, Woj was quote tweeting Wolves PR. For neither big player in this to have this information when you know for a fact that each of those two high-level reporters, as well as all of the amazing reporters in the Minneapolis market, are tied or have these sources... For the team to break this news, that in and of itself is like a case study. Like, to me, that is the most interesting part about this, that no one else had this. And it makes me, I'll defer back to you here. I want you to drive, but it makes me wonder what the decision making behind the scenes and what the motivations are.
It is wild, dude. Like, to your point, yeah, usually if something was headed in the direction of where it landed today, which is the Timberwolves are no longer for sale, that this whole 3-year process was leading to the Wolves not being for sale because there was a falling out or the missing of an important deadline here between the parties. You would think that, like, yeah, you're right, that that would trickle out in a softer way, right? But let's just kind of go through this, because you have two sides that are diametrically opposed looking at the same contract. Because this isn't just like, hey, just trust me, I'm Glenn Taylor, you can trust me, we'll give you guys 2 or 3 years, we'll put a couple deadlines loosey-goosey on. Like, this is where lawyers are going to get involved here, because Glenn Taylor is claiming these guys didn't have the money. Now, Doogie asked him, did you ever talk money with them? He's basically saying, I guess I don't know if they had the money or not, but they didn't have the money at the deadline that we agreed upon.
And again, I go back to, because there's so many people that cover this team that we all love, and we have a lot of them on this podcast. What I'm trying to say is, because I am kind of friendly with all of them, I don't think that just because someone reports something that you might not like or seems weird, that it's wrong. I think this is, and you have been in the market for way longer than I have, and you've covered teams at the highest level, I think this might be the craziest Minnesota sports story possibly ever. Because I think both sides, to your point, I think there's actually maybe more than two sides here. Everyone is giving their side of it. And if I can say nothing else, because again, I want to just be transparent. 48 hours ago, I did a little victory lap, and I was like, hey, when I was on vacation, tanning my body, you know, the ownership thing went through.
Yeah.
And I was like, no concerns. I still stand by that. Like, I know we're going to get into what we've, but I still think this is a long way from over. And if you wanted to get, I know it's reckless speculation Thursday, this is just Kyle Tighe speaking, no one else. I think Mark and Alex are going to become the owners one day. That's my reckless speculation.
But let me go through a couple things, and then we can kind of get into like our thoughts even more in depth. As of today, March 27th, 2024, yesterday was the deadline, March 27th. Today's the 28th. Mark and Alex did not have the money needed, the group required with the money needed, and the approval of the NBA's Board of Governors on the agreed upon date. That is what Glenn Taylor, that's not my opinion.
No,
that is what Glenn Taylor is saying publicly in a press release and in interviews. Now, what it sounds like is, because just to back up a step, over the last few years, the NBA started allowing equity firms to invest in ownership groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so recently, Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez were attempting to find an equity firm to help boost the funding needed to get the final installment for majority ownership. And now Mark Lowry, who just raised $700 million in the latest round for his startup company, Wonder, he clearly has connections in the private equity world. So it's not like Mark Lowry is sitting at home, oh man, we're a couple bucks short, who can I call, right? He just raised $700 million for one of his startups. So according to Doogie's reporting on The Scoop this morning, talks recently broke down between the A-Rod Lowry Group and the Carlyle Group, mm-hmm. which is a private equity company, a few weeks ago. And they had then turned to other private equity firms. Dial Capital is one of them that has been approved by the NBA. They have a stake in some other franchises. They were in the mix at one point over the past couple of weeks. But it sounds like Mark and Alex were looking for some help from a private equity company. They found a couple that were approved by the NBA. They clearly claim in their statement, hey, we put something together here and we're just waiting on the NBA to approve it. But the NBA approving something, I feel like, is a little bit of a gray, cloudy area, a backroom area where there's Glenn Taylor's, there's all these longtime owners in the NBA. Like, if they deem the structure of the A-Rod Lowry Group to be a little rickety. And some of the things that I have heard are that there are a lot of questions about even if this were to go through and they were to become majority owners, were they going to have the necessary padding and funding to pay luxury tax, to run the organization the way that a top NBA organization needs to be run financially? And not to mention, dude, like a new arena at some point. They've been talking behind the scenes, A-Rod and Lori, for 3 years about, hey, we know how hard it is to get an arena publicly financed in the state of Minnesota. Go talk to the Twins. Go talk to the Vikings, right? So we're going to put together a private group to make that happen. Well, if they're having this much trouble putting together the group just to buy the team, how are they going to put together a group? Like, I have heard there's a lot of questions about, even if the NBA were to approve Mark, Alex, a private equity firm coming in, were they going to be able to run this without being super lean over the next 3 to 5 years? What is their actual business plan? Because to me, like, I've been hammering Glenn Taylor for 15 years on a microphone in the Twin Cities. I still stand by, if you go back in my lifetime, I've been watching sports since like 1991. Glenn Taylor is legitimately one of the worst owners of a professional sports team in the entire country in my life. The mess that this franchise and the state that this franchise was in for about 15 years was an embarrassment. That being said, if Mark and Alex had the money, and this is a drastically discounted NBA franchise, Forbes has this team valued at $2.5 billion right now. There's some people saying that if the Wolves hit the open market again right now, Glenn Taylor could get like $2.5 or $3 billion. But these guys locked in, what, $1.5 billion price 3 years ago? And if they're having trouble after 1 year, after a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, like here's another deadline. It's an unprecedented structure, a 3 year structure to get ownership passed on to another group. Like you either have the group, you have the money, or you don't. Like why has it taken 2 or 3 years? That's my biggest question. Why not? You can't write a check 6 months ago? Like why is it coming down to the wire this aggressively? So it's a mess, dude. It's a mess.
Again, I will just say that I have an ear in this, or you know, one person. A lot of people, I think, have various different sources. This is my passion, not only because I love the Minnesota Timberwolves for the 35 years of their existence and my existence on Earth, but I also, and you know this, I just love sports business. I love this stuff. You kind of threw a lot at me, but I want to hit on some major points. I'm just going to say this for Kyle Tuggy. I'm not going to comment on the money thing, because Glenn said or hinted that they didn't have the money. Mark and Alex had a statement to The Athletic that said they do have the money, and Woj said they have the money. Now, to your point about this 24-year-month, you know, layaway plan that I've called it, that some people are like, please don't call it that. That is weird, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I have to cycle back to my first thing, and it was kind of like a hint, so now I'll just be more blunt with it. The fact that no one in the local market or the national market had this needs to make you raise an eyebrow. Because this, to me, is like Glenn Taylor, again, just in my opinion, kind of, I mean, you read all his quotes. The one that he could have just done a press release today and been like, you know what? There were some business milestones that weren't met. I'm pulling my team off the market. People do that with houses all the time, right? I don't love the, I built this team, we've got the players now, and it appears to me that we should have a very positive run for a number of years, and I want to be a part of it, because I was at the opening ownership press conference when they all sat up there at Mayo Square, and it was Mark and Alex and Glenn. Okay, I was also there when I'm pretty sure Glenn Taylor said on the record, I didn't know who Tim Connelly was.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't necessarily, I'm just poking holes in things that are out there. I don't know if Glenn Taylor built this team. And this idea of like, well, shit, they're kind of good now. I wouldn't mind holding the Larry O'Brien trophy up there. I don't know who's advising Glenn, because I would have just left the press release and gone back to an afternoon 8 hour nap in my little home in Florida. Yeah. I don't think we needed to do all these. Because that now you're just saying different things. Now you're saying that they didn't meet their contractual obligations and I'm going to have to pull it back. But then in the same vein, you're like, yo, Ant has some nasty dunks. I kind of want to be the guy that owns the team.
You can still sit there. You know, Glenn, buddy, we can retire your sweaters.
I've seen Weekend at Bernie's. We can put you anywhere.
Okay, yeah. just, well, you can still sit courtside. You know, we might move you to a different area. And that, like, what you just hit on, though, is it does feel like going through Glenn's comments in the press release all the way to the Doogie interview to Johnny K. It does feel like there is a layer of seller's remorse here for two reasons. He mentioned the team being really good, but also, dude, like, the value of the franchise has probably doubled in 3 years.
Fall of, I think, 2021 or 2022, when this all came out, I was in the same apartment. I was downstairs with my neighbors, and I get a Woj bomb that says Alex Rodriguez is buying the Timberwolves. That was like a moment where you're like, are you on drugs? Nope, just a normal August day.
Yeah.
At that exact moment, still living in Portland, Dane and I did an emergency podcast. This was pre-Flagrant House, back in the bad days. And I said, my friend who works in the Blazers organization just texted me, 1.5 LOL, they're easily worth 2.2.
Yeah.
That was 24 months ago. So we already knew that he kind of took a discount. And also, if you did, just going to throw this out there because I'm a factual-based reporter, Phil, Glenn Taylor's 82 years old. If you wanted this to be sold, why not just try to do everything you can? Again, we're less than a week away from when Shams, who has been really, really on the A-Rod Lori side and has been a lot of that reporting, was like, hey, they just gave paperwork to the league. So what happened in that week, right? And again, I come back to this thing of the way this was reported today is not how things are reported anymore. So what I'm just trying to say, 30 minutes into this, every single person that you follow or that you like or that you read or listen to, including the new owners, were shocked by this today.
So do you think Glenn just went rogue? And grabbed a PR person from the organization.
Speculation.
Let's put on a four paragraph.
I try to just have, again, I love this topic, but I also just really wanted to. You and I were texting all night last night. This should have been fun. And the reason I'm going to probably freak out at some point is because this is absolute just beep, bleep, bleep, bleep to the fans. Because I've seen all the people be like, this is going to be messy. This is going to probably go to the courts, all this stuff. It's not going to impact the players playing against Denver. Friday night, Wolves Nuggets should be the biggest game of the season, and everyone should tune in. I talked to them today. Dane's there. Chris is there. John's there. It's going to be great reporting. Tune in. Have a good time. But no well-run organization has bleep leadership or bleep ownership. And for this to come out, I mean, if this was Glenn Taylor's decision, and people want to be pro him or negative him, it's also Glenn Taylor's mess.
Yeah.
He keeps being like so chill in these things. Like, well, you know, they gave us this proposal. You accepted the proposal. You accepted these terms. Matt Ishbia or whatever came in and just bought the Suns overnight. The next day gave everyone a $5,000 bonus. You agreed to be like, hey, we can pay for this two Christmases from now. We can get the tricycle in 2024. I'm just trying to give you like what I think, and based off of all these other ownership things that have been quick and easy, and like you want to report to the big league reporters, you want to establish when you tell Shams like, hey Shams, we got the paperwork in. What you're doing is not only strutting your stuff and fluffing your feathers, you're getting Shams on your side for down the road when like Shams is going to tell you some trade stuff, or he's going to leak information to the ownership. This is how this all works. Phil, you know this better than anyone. This is how it's like give and take, give and take. The fact that Glenn Taylor didn't give this to anyone except the PR department or the comms department, I don't know.
It's weird on so many levels because you, and again, this is all, I guarantee, and this is where lawyers are going to take this over at some, this is, Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez are not going to just be like, oh, well, shoot. I guess I'll just go back to baseball over here. And like, I think there's going to be a fight here, a legal fight. But what's kind of crazy is Mark and Alex surmised that if we put the group together and file the paperwork, because like you said, it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, right?
That it was a week ago.
Here we go. Okay, we've got it. We've got the group and we've got the finances. But then there's this ambiguous gray area period where the NBA's board of directors has to approve any new ownership structure. It can't just be, okay, So, yeah, we got so my buddy over here, billionaire Bob, Venmo'd me. So we got a chunk there. We got a private equity group. And, oh, we just beat the clock and we submit. Like, it has to get approved. And so my question is, does Glenn have a leg to stand on that, hey, if the NBA hasn't approved the structure in the group by March 27th, then technically they didn't meet their deadline? Or is there a... is there a technicality where, no, we submitted for the NBA's approval before March 27th? Because that's where it feels like the legal gray area is right now. Mark and Alex are saying, well, wait a second. No, no, no. We slid in under the line and we got the group together. And Glenn's saying, yeah, but it's not approved and it's March 27th. So, sorry. And that's not a terrible thing for me because the team's playing great. And he didn't say this on the record, but the franchise has doubled in value in the last 2 years, too. Like, the fact that Glenn has said, I'm not really mad about this. This is, of course he's not mad about this. This is great. The other elephant in the room is, and I'll credit Glenn on this. It's about the only thing I'll credit him on over the last 10 or 15 years. He rejected two or three other, I think Matt Ishbia was one of them. He rejected two or three other higher bids for the franchise two or three years ago because those new owners couldn't guarantee him. You can't put it in writing, but they couldn't guarantee him that they wouldn't move the Wolves to Seattle or Las Vegas, right? A-Rod and Lori, and of course, like, you're just going off someone's word. An arena situation falling through could easily change the minds of anyone. But A-Rod and Lori, part of the reason why they were able to come in here and get this franchise at a lower cost than other owners would have paid is so they say, okay, yeah, we'll keep the team in Minnesota. Like, we're not going to pay as much, but we'll keep the team in Minnesota. So this opens up a whole new question of if at some point he puts the team back, let's say the A-Rod, Mark Lurie thing just continues to fizzle and they have no legal ground to stand on. Can Glenn find another potential buyer at some point? Does he have desire to put the team back on the market at some point and find someone that wouldn't move the team to Las Vegas or Seattle? That's another huge thing hanging over this franchise now.
Another one, you are, what, born and raised there, live there, have a lot of connections, covered the city and its sports for a long time. A simple Google search prior to today, because I'm guessing all the algorithm will show a lot of this story. You know, there are some Glenn Taylor business searches that will tell you that this is not his first time being a little weird when it comes to a deal.
We need to hear KG's next podcast is going to be interesting.
I know. I saw my friend Michael Hagan tweeted the from Uncut Gems when Kevin Garnett's like, why would you show me something if I can't have it? Yeah. That's how I felt today. But, I mean, so it's funny because I don't really know any of these people. Just, you know, you can talk to them or you can have a source or whatever. But I don't know Alec Rodriguez. I don't know Mark Lurie. I don't know Glenn Taylor. But it is kind of trying to cipher through, Phil, of like, would you rather have the Joker or the Riddler? Like, trying to figure out who is the more trustworthy villain here, because I will say this about Glenn Taylor. This is kind of the rhetoric that anyone who has covered or followed this team long enough, there were real chances that the Minnesota Timberwolves were no longer going to be in Minnesota. And Glenn Taylor has fought, I think, tooth and nail to literally glue himself to the Target Center floor so that this team stays in Minnesota. But I also know with a bullet that over the last 24 months during this layaway plan, that the changes you've seen, the trade that we have defended, the president of basketball operations clearing up some of the chaos that happened after the Rosas stuff, all the little things like redoing the locker room, all the just behind the scenes stuff, that's Mark and Alex. And that stuff has paid dividends behind the scenes, including like the contract extension for Finch and his staff. Again, big game hunting on Tim Connelly, on Rudy Gobert, some of these deals. That's what I'm sure people thought it was hyperbolic, but that's what makes this, I really do think, the most interesting like Minnesota sports story possibly of all time, is that I don't even know. It's pretty easy once you have a couple hours to digest. Okay, I think I'm going to side with that person. I have no idea who to side with.
Because you could literally do like a tale of the tape, and you could line up all the reasons why there's problems with both sides' stances here. Like on the Glenn side, there's just the problematic tenure of his ownership, where outside of Kevin Garnett carrying the franchise and Flip Saunders for two different stints, it's been the most embarrassing franchise in American team sports recent history. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right there with like the Cleveland Browns and the Detroit Lions for a long time. I mean, the Timberwolves over the last 35 years are, unfortunately, and we love the team. We're sitting here on flagrant howls multiple times a week, but you know, Glenn's legacy as an owner is mostly a bunch of bumbling mistakes and incompetence and last place finishes and whiffing on Steph Curry twice by drafting Johnny Flynn. Like, his legacy is mostly that.
Let me just, we're doing this in real time. It's afternoon here. Glenn Taylor right now is on the Chad Hartman show.
WCCO radio. Okay.
This is from Seth Kaplan on X, the application, not the drug. Glenn Taylor with Chad Hartman show, when asked if the reason for this happening is because the franchise might be worth double what he was selling it for.
It's a great question.
Glenn, partly so, yes. I have a responsibility to those who have been on the ride for the last 40 years.
What? So he admits that it's seller's remorse.
the little wet, okay, just one of these things. Again, I just want to say, I mean, the thing that
I can't blame him.
Hey, yesterday's price isn't today's price. What can I say?
But on the other side, okay, you're Mark and you're Alex, and you just locked into this sweetheart deal for one of 30 NBA franchises 2-3 years ago. And the selling price at the time is a discount. And now you tack on 2 more years and NBA growth. And the lowest team valuations, according to Forbes, before this season started were the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, both at $2.5 billion. So the Forbes valuations, and those aren't exactly how you would like price out buying a team, but like the Forbes valuations have this as a $1 billion discount from the price that you agreed upon 2 years ago, right? And I agree, like, I think it's probably more like if this team hit the market with Anthony Edwards and his growth the last 2 years, and this team being at the top of the Western Conference, it feels like it's the start of a winning window. It is probably a $3 billion price tag. So Mark and Alex know that as well for 2 years. Write the check.
No, again,
get the group together. Why don't you have this buttoned up before the last minute? Hey, it's time to hand in your term paper. It's time to hand in your homework.
But why is it taking
this long?
That's why this will go to court. This has no choice but to become legal, because I heard you today when you had Doogie on too. Like, that is such a clean, good, I'm jealous take to be like, if you knew the value of this thing was skyrocketing, I mean, going as high as Anthony Edwards can literally jump.
Get it in.
But anyway, but on the same side, you work really high up in business. Like, you know, Phil is not just a content maker. He's a really smart businessman as part of Score North and Hubbard. If they thought they've been doing all the terms of this, like business acquisitions and stuff, the overnight Phoenix Suns, Phoenix Mercury trade or sale, that's rare in business. Like, I'm not going to get too specific, but my organization just acquired a chunk of hospitals. It's going to make like this mega hospital thing in the Oregon, Portland metro. It's been going on for 6 months with very little clarity. Like, there's so many things to hammer out. Now, this one is about as weird as it gets, but I don't know. Like, again, to what their statement said, and I don't care who, I want to get this off my chest first, and I hope that you understand and let me land this plane, but I don't actually care. I was talking to Jake Painting this morning, like, howls and growls, like, I don't care who owns the team, right? Because on the same side, I'm probably coming off very anti-Glenn, as we've said, for good reasons. Again, he could have just said the statement today. Every time, in my opinion, he has spoken on the record, it's gotten worse. And again, now it all comes from the beginning bleep storm of, like, he just basically gave a press release out without any sort of, you know, media reporting. I don't care. But on the Mark and Alex side, if they really did struggle with the money, which I don't believe, but if they did, yeah, you do not want broke boy owners coming in when you're facing $100 million tax bill.
Yes.
But I don't care about any of that. We're 35 years in. This team has been good for about 2 of them. Okay, I know I can't say on this. Don't bleep the fans. Do not let this is the last thing this team needed. The vibes were so good getting on that plane today with Jim and Grady and Allen and everyone going to steal first place in the Western Conference and win a playoff series for the first time in 20 years. Well, guess what? If you don't know how media works, tomorrow night, all those players are going to get asked about this. Okay, and now you have, and I don't think they care. I think Tim Connelly is going to earn his salary here, being like a meat shield for all of this and being like, we are centrally focused on basketball and centrally focused on bringing a championship to this city for the first time in men's sports in, you know, two decades, three decades, whatever. But do not let this petty bleep mess up 35 years of fans waiting for something like this, okay? Because I don't know what Mark and Alex are owed or deserve. I don't know what Glenn Taylor or Becky Taylor, one of his six kids, are owed or deserved. But the fans that are once again swallowing the pill for high increases in season tickets next year, they deserve to have this team not... They deserve to eat at Applebee's. They deserve to have an Applebee's meal and not have some stepdad or some, you know, old 82-year-old man or a former baseball player mess up the Cajun Tots.
Dude, Cajun Tots. By the way, don't sleep on Cajun Tots.
God.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
It's so annoying.
Dude, to your point about Glenn, this is one of the most, like, amazingly selfish, tone-deaf ways to go about this.
That's my point about the Virgil thing, that he's just, like, pulling the plug by himself, going rogue. I really do think that.
Yeah. Couldn't he have – was there a better way to go about this, to not just drop a grenade in the middle of this wonderful magic season, the best season in 20 years of Wolves basketball? But to your original question a few minutes ago about, like, you kind of said, you don't really care, like, it's about the game and the fans, but you don't really care as much about the ownership situation. So I care very deeply about the ownership situation, and I'm looking at a tale of the tape. I love the way you put the, you said, are you kind of pontificated, you know, are they broke boys? Not broke boys relative to the other NBA owners, by the way.
Yeah,
they're not broke boys compared to idiots like us. But if my choice is, well, you're broke now, you're house poor.
Now I'm broke, yeah, actually. I can't afford 1%.
But I don't want Glenn Taylor to own this team anymore.
And
I'm done with Glenn Taylor as the owner of this team. And I actually, like, I gave him so much leeway the last 3 years. I've barely ripped him for 3 years because, you know what? All right, cool. He's, like, empowering smart, progressive minds to come in here and hire the right people, go spend a boatload of money on Tim Connelly. You know, the Anthony Edwards has sort of taken over as the face of the franchise, and, like, Glenn Taylor has just taken a back seat or a front seat with his little sweaters at Target Center, and that's great. I don't want him to own this team. But on the flip side, and where I do defend him a little bit on this, is if he has sniffed out that these are broke boys relative to the rest of the NBA owners, and he is saying, well, my plan was to let this go through, but these guys, like, and there's another thing here that we haven't really touched on, that the relationship, according to Woj, has disintegrated. Yep. I have also heard that there's been very little communication for, like, at least a year between Alex, Mark, and Glenn specifically, which is weird because sometimes they're all in the same arena watching the same game from the same, like, courtside seat areas. But if these guys are coming in here and they're just, like, stretching to find the funds, maybe they put together enough funds to get to the right number to buy the team according to the legal paperwork. But do they have enough funds and resources to pay second apron luxury tax money or even first apron luxury tax money?
Great point.
And have the same number of people in the front office and scouting departments and analytics and all these things that you need to run a top organization? I don't know. I'm not sitting on their bank accounts. But I know that there are smart people and people connected that have grown to question whether they have the right level of funds to run a top NBA organization. So what do I want? Do I want Glenn Taylor to keep running the team? Or do I want a couple of quote-unquote broke boys to come in here and not have the resources to run the team the right way? And maybe the right thing is, all right, I guess Glenn just keeps the train on the tracks for a couple years. But I still want him to sell the team because I don't think he is a competent owner of a professional sports franchise.
You hit the nail on the head because I threw a softball to you and you, opening day, you hit it out of the park. I know for a fact that a lot of the things you like about the Timberwolves right now are from new ownership.
Agreed.
But what I don't know, and only people listening to this that work at Ide Bailey know this probably, is who's paying for that. And I think it's probably Glenn, right? So big game hunting, that's Mark and Alex's idea. Tim Connelly's salary, that's probably Glenn, right? Extensions for all the coaches, Jim Pete has called Chris Finch the best coach in 35 years. That's Mark and Alex's idea. That's Glenn Taylor signing the checks. Okay. So with all of that said, and heated rants and all this stuff, the one thing I know for sure, and you know this too, covering this market, and people won't want to hear this. This isn't a threat, by the way, but I've told Dane Moore in passing, if the Wolves ever, I don't care what happens, if the Wolves mess the Anthony Edwards thing up and he leaves, I'm done. Like, I know fans listening but to this, dude, have been this through
is,
a lot.
This is the type of thing, I know that, like, this happening today shouldn't impact their shoot-around or anything other than people asking about it, but this type of weird dysfunction for a non-premium NBA franchise is the type of thing, not today, but, like, in a couple years, 3 years, could lead Anthony Edwards to say, this is dumb.
And if you think that's dumb, I'm so, like, you're wrong. Because this now doesn't affect them in that locker room. But when, or if, you know, let's hope to God they play into June and they just Ewing theory this to the most utmost level of just bleep ownership. I've always said you should never like your owners anyway. But if they bow out in the first round and you have this ownership stuff, this is where narratives just start. I mean, I'm just like on the For You page. Andrew Yang is like tweeting about this. Like, this is going to go all over the world, right? In terms of this story. Andrew, and the last thing go. You need is distractions. So I think I'm not worried. Ant hasn't even kicked into his extension. You have all of your best players signed through next season. From a basketball standpoint, as Britt Robson said earlier today on Dane's pod, everyone should just continue to enjoy this ride of what has been through 72 games, the best start in Timberwolves franchise history. The best start. They have to win a lot of games to get to 58 wins. I don't know if they'll get there. I'd love to talk about that instead. But if this is the type of stuff that gets used against all-star, superstar players in small markets if they don't win. So yes, this won't affect them, I don't think, in the locker room, but it does kind of unintentionally put a target on their back to win. And winning has cured a lot of this, because I'll tell you right now, if this team was 20-62 and this news came out today, there would be a ton of Ant pieces about he needs to get out of there.
For sure.
Ant deserves better. Well, but he's 50-22.
There's going to be pieces regardless now.
But that circles back to the fan thing. Like, you finally have threaded the needle. You have, you know, Avengers one finger up, one of the 1 million simulations. You're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And whoever is to blame needs to be flushed out immediately, because this is the first time in 35 years that you've had everyone on the same page all the way up to the C-suite. And that's just not going to fly. The fans deserve better.
A couple other notes on this. One, I'll just give you one last opinion on this, and then I'm going to read Ross's transcribing from a Royce column. So I'm going to read some of that.
Oh, good, you're good.
Royce, Glenn Taylor, who owns the Star Tribune, by the way. So Royce talking to his boss, getting some quotes from his boss. But I don't trust Glenn Taylor, but I don't know if I trust Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez as majority owners of a franchise. And I think you nailed it too, man. Like, look at us just bowing down to each other's takes here, right? It's great. I love the way you put it, because I have heard and have felt the same thing being around the team and talking to a bunch of people for the last 2 years, that a lot of the positive changes, the positive vibes, the culture, a lot of that is Mark and Alex coming in with a fresh perspective, a relatability to modern professional athletes. But whose money are they spending? When Tim Connelly, when you get to sit in a room with Tim Connelly and say, we'll double what you are making in Denver, Glenn Taylor's writing those checks, right? Mm-hmm. So, man,
there is a chance, and this is why this is the perfect, and I say that tongue in cheek, this is the perfect 2024 story, right? Because more and more people have replaced trucker hats with tinfoil hats, and the conspiracy theories will fly. And you know what? In this case, they deserve that, because this organization, I mean, Dane, if you go to the 4340 mark of Dane's pod today on YouTube, you can see his reaction reading this in real time, and he's just like, are you bleeping kidding me?
So wait, he was recording
him and Britt were going live today, and he just like, Britt, I got to interrupt you. Like,
dude, we were live with Royce this morning, like 20 minutes in. I was like, I'm sorry, guys.
And Dane and Britt had a good, you know, again, if you fast forward to that part, they had a really good explanation on this. Dane and I will record on Saturday, a little shameless plug, and we'll get into this even more. We just need to flush out more information because, again, I think the people that I look up to or I trust the most, they don't know. And that's why this is all so weird, and now we're getting more snippets and interviews. Ross just said that Glenn said on some interview today that they also have 3 grandbabies at his house and he's going to have to go take care of them. It's just like, this is so Glenn Taylor. Like, I will guarantee you, Phil, Thursday night down in Florida, they're all having lasagna. Like, that just like is the most perfect way to capstone this. Jeez. But it doesn't matter in big business and billionaires and, you know, Jesus dick swinging contest. You finally have put a good product out there and you have, I mean, you go to all these games, like you have the most passionate, well-deserving fan base. And we are 2 weeks away from the end of the season. You cannot let this interfere with the on-court stuff. And yeah. Again, a little selfish here, 40 minutes in. I wouldn't want anyone else coaching this team right now other than Chris Finch. Because I don't think he gives two bleeps about any of this. And he is going to isolate those guys along with Tim Connelly and the rest of the front office to make sure it's just about basketball. But as a lot of people say all the time, like, things are bigger than basketball, and I think this is a topic bigger than basketball, and if it's not handled appropriately, I mean, forget letting the plane land. Like, the plane is now just doing circles in the air, and yeah. Glenn might be flying, it might not. They just cannot let this spiral out of control, because this is how you lose your favorite fans, your favorite coaches, and your favorite players.
Well, what's going to be really interesting here is Glenn, A-Rod, and Lori, in their public statement, are accusing Glenn of having seller's remorse.
That's nasty, by the way. That's like a nasty thing to put in a press release. You know that.
It's wild. It is. But they figure, well, Glenn came out, took the gloves off. Well, we're not going to sit here and take it. So they say he has seller's remorse. But then Glenn confirms through multiple interviews today publicly that he does indeed have seller's remorse. He literally just told Chad Hartman on WCCO radio when asked, is part of this because the franchise has probably doubled in value? He said, yeah, that's part of it. So, okay, I'm going to read you a couple other things, then we'll get to a random wolf of the week. This is from John Krasinski, Athletic. He says, here's what I can gather right now. What this will come down to is an interpretation of the agreement. Lori and A-Rod believe they have fulfilled all their obligations. Glenn Taylor believes they have missed on a series of benchmarks that they were supposed to hit. The agreement calls for disputes like this to go to mediation and arbitration, where a neutral party would review the arguments from both sides and make a ruling. What happens next is not immediately clear, but this feels like just the beginning of a long process. Royce then talked to Glenn for a Star Tribune article, and Glenn said, quote, we could have gotten more. We could have gotten $2.5 billion paid up front a couple of years ago, but that person was going to try and move the team to Las Vegas. That's what Glenn Taylor said in February. The deadline has been pushed back and they missed it. That's what led to this. Royce then says, one positive for the team followers complaining about Glenn Taylor staying in as owner, the demand for a new arena to house the Timberwolves could come much later with Taylor in charge rather than if Lori and A-Rod had taken over. Quote, I'm okay with Target Center, Glenn Taylor said. You would always like to see a few improvements, but I don't see a major problem with the arena for now. He said, it's business, Glenn Taylor said. Everyone has the right to bring in lawyers. End quote.
50-22.
An 82-year-old insane owner who might not even be wrong, by the way.
But, and that's my biggest takeaway, right? We just rambled for 48 minutes. This is like the least flagrant howls podcast of all time. But if nothing else, we live in a world where we want instant gratification and we want, you know, we get these notifications on our phone. If I can leave you with nothing else, it's that I don't think the dust is even remotely close to settling.
Oh, no.
And if I were a fan, which I am, or just anyone following this, I would be in pure like consume mode. Just consume everything. You know, your favorite reporters are still trying to navigate these waters. I don't think people even know what they don't know yet, and it'll all come to light at some point. And my only take, and I think I speak for a good segment of people, is that this is finally on the right track. And I don't care who is the pilot or the conductor or any of that stuff, but to throw this thing back off the tracks based solely on pettiness or evaluation of a business or anything would be truly tragic and could be the demise once and for all of this franchise.
Sorry, one more thought.
Let's just keep going. I canceled my 1 o'clock.
Well, the Twins start in like 10 minutes, and I'd like to watch opening day here. But I want the Wilfs to buy this team. Mm-hmm. I want Mark and Ziggy Wilf to buy this team.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they have some proven record of championships. They're still trying to figure that out. But they've been good, fair, big spending owners, right? They greenlight big personnel moves. They spend money on facilities. The Vikings across the board with the NFL Players Association survey are number one in facilities, number one in coaching staff, number one in ownership, the way they treat players. Mark and Ziggy, I think they own an MLS franchise. They own the Vikings. Go cobble together. Go into your luxury 20th story Manhattan, wherever you guys live in New Jersey, Manhattan, Skyrise. And find a couple $1 billion if you could. I would love to just see some reliable owners who aren't bumbling idiots come in and save this franchise.
Two last thoughts, and then I want Ross. I know you're dying to get in here. I do want to play Random Wolf of the Week. Just curious, you haven't been asked this before. That's a great idea. The Wilfs. That would make sense, right? Like there's places across the country, right, where they own multiple of the big teams or whatever.
Yeah.
What if Kirk Cousins bought the Timberwolves?
He's getting close.
Like, he probably has enough. He might have more money than Alex Rodriguez.
Wouldn't that be ironic? That'd be great.
So, Royce did have a great column on the Star Tribune. I do, we'd read snippets of it, but I would highly suggest going there to read this. But this is my last statement on this for now, and Dane and I'll have more. But to this idea that I've been trying to lay out of how weird today has been and how abnormal it has been on an abnormal topic. Royce says in his article, did the explosion in the NBA sales price lead to Thursday's decision to enforce the latest deadline and cancel the sale? Not for me, Glenn Taylor said. My money's going to the Taylor Foundation, not in my pocket.
But he said the opposite with Hartman.
Not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
Remember this for when this becomes law and order, Minnesota SVU. But my Limiteds, they might be happy if the Timberwolves are sold later for a higher price.
Yeah.
That is flat out criminal to say, because you agreed to a price, and yes, inflation, $5.50 for a Dasani water at the movie theater the other day to go watch Dune 2, which by the way was awesome, but it does that. You can't use that. You can't say that out loud. Be like,
but,
well,
but he thinks he's saying it at he, what he is. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe I shouldn't. He's saying, well, the deadline for the agreed upon price passed yesterday. And now that we're past the deadline, and it's a blank canvas, I can do whatever I want with my franchise. Yeah, I'd love to tap into that franchise inflation from the past couple of years. I think that's the way his brain is operating here. I hope for his sake, he talked to a couple lawyers that are trustworthy before he.
I would hope that he ran this by lawyers and not the grandbabies, but you never know with that man. So, Ross, God. Random Wolf of the Week.
Come in here, Ross. Yeah. Random Wolf of the Week, presented by our friends at First Equity Mortgage. Let's throw a shout out to First Equity Mortgage, all right? A few years ago, I had a great experience with First Equity, refinancing my home at the time with David at First Equity. David is actually a 20-year Wolves and Lynx season ticket holder. Would love his thoughts on what's happening here today. 24 years in the market, First Equity is a Minnesota-based company. They pride themselves on supporting the community. They also offer programs for veterans and for new home buyers if you qualify. Find out more and support the show here by going to femort.com. That's femort.com or scorenorth.com, keyword David.
Guys, bravo. Well done today. Well done. Well done.
The worst part is I have a real job. And I have to, like, all morning I was like, how do I respond to these emails? It's like I'm just going to call in sick. So.
Sorry, Karen. Yeah, I can't. Can't be thinking about that.
I can't manage your portfolio today. I'm more focused on Glenn's portfolio that he doesn't even want. He's going to give to all his children. Just sell the team.
I also don't understand how he would do any of these interviews without a lawyer sitting next to him or on the line with him that basically just says, psh, Don't answer that.
Because, Ross, he's the same guy that had Andrew Wiggins come look him in the eye before a max extension. You know what I mean? Like, that's the stuff I'm talking about. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's great that he built his fortunes being a local guy from Mankato and Ma and Pa business stuff. It's 2024. That's not how this works.
Yeah.
And he's living in the past. And again, everyone here might be in the wrong, except for the three of us, but throw some clues out, man.
Let's not forget the wink, wink, ink, ink with Joe Smith. Let's never forget that.
Dude, I'm so triggered right now. Here's random wolf of the week, okay? So, wait, we've done 16 of these all time. Go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead.
Well, no, do your thing.
Okay, hold on. Let me set this up with the video. So, Kyle has 10 wins. I have 6. The last handful of random wolves are Dante Cunningham, Felipe Lopez, Corey Brewer, Andre Kirilenko, and J.R. Ryder. So Ross is going to throw out a series of clues. We get up to 3 incorrect guesses each, competing against each other. If one of us hits a third strike, the other one wins automatically. No Googling. You can control F search if we've done one of the players or not, in case you're forgetting the list. But here we go.
And this is, just to clarify, this random wolf of the week, if you're new here and you just are curious about sports business, these are wolves, people no longer associated with the team, right, Ross? So they're no longer on the team?
That's a great question. I think we've never really talked about that. I think technically they probably could be associated with the team. Okay.
Declan's pulled a couple fast ones like that on the random Viking of the week, where it's like Alexander Mattison. You're like, okay.
So can we do, are we still doing heat checks?
Yes, and yeah. I will tell you, this is not a current Minnesota Timberwolf. And just to clear this up, people love to say, that's not a random Timberwolf. That was a good player. You're correct. It's random wolf of the week, only in the effect that we are picking the player at random.
At random, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. All right. Yeah.
Well, my heat check would be, if this is no longer associated with the Timberwolves, my heat check would be Mark Laurie.
I knew you were going to go there.
Okay, no? Okay.
Here we go.
He was right.
I couldn't help myself. I'm so mad.
Number one, my guys. This random wolf of the week is retired from the NBA.
Okay.
What do you got?
Let's do it. Let's do heat check.
Nemanja Bjelica.
Who wants to go first?
Bjelica.
There's a delay.
It's not Bjelica.
Okay, because he just retired.
I'm gonna go. Retired from the NBA. See, that's a clue in itself. I feel like that means that he maybe chose that he decided to retire, as opposed to like was not good anymore. And you know what I'm saying?
You have your legal hat on now. You're like dissecting everything everyone says.
I'm going to say, okay, is it, I don't think we've done this guy. Is it Doug West?
Oh, good guess. Not Doug West.
Okay. Those don't count for our...
They do not count. And by the way, if you're wondering, I think our delay is gone or largely caught up. Okay. Speaking of which, this random wolf of the week that is retired is currently 47 years old. So this random wolf of the week is a little bit older, gentlemen. This random wolf of the week stands 6'2" tall.
Oh, man.
6'2", 47 years old, obviously retired from the NBA.
Ross, okay. I gotta ask you, Ross, and Phil, you can chime in too. If you're 6'1" and like anything over 6'1", right? Like a decimal point over 6'1", do you believe in rounding up or rounding down?
If you were like
6'1" and
three quarters
or two
rounding
quarters.
Down, you round down.
Yeah, you're not quite there, dude.
You have
you're
to
not
get to halfway before you round up.
I don't even have a hinge account, but I'm going to have to change it from 6'2 back to 6'1".
I round down for weight to the nearest zero, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for me, by the way.
190 down to 150.
My Bumble and Tinder is a complete lie. Same with Hinge. There's nothing accurate about it. Here's your next hint. This random wolf of the week played for 5 NBA franchises. NBA franchises.
Is it Chauncey Billups?
It is not Chauncey Billups.
Oh, that's a good guess.
47.
I got one guess down.
Okay.
5 NBA teams?
5 NBA teams. This random wolf of the week attended Abraham Lincoln High School in New York.
So he would have been...
I feel like Kyle Abraham Lincoln may have registered something with Kyle off the look that he gave the camera. This random Wolf of the Week appeared in two NBA All-Star games, none of them for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Wow. Oh, man. This guy's probably older than that. 47
this
years old.
This random Wolf of the Week played in parts of three seasons for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, I hate when you say it like that, but I know what you mean.
This guy would have been older than that. He's born in... Again, there's only so many people it can be right now, because you just like it's like a point guard, shooting guard.
This random Wolf of the Week, gentlemen, actually spent less time in Minnesota than who he was traded for. A 5'11" guard.
He was traded for a 5'11" guard?
Yes, sir. Some may remember this random Wolf of the Week for his time in the NBA's Eastern Conference, specifically on the East Coast. I can tell you guys are just spent today. You're a lot more quiet during random Wolf.
The problem is I'm trying to do like age math intertwined with players that are that size, and now you just do this whole trade equation in two.
Is it Sebastian Telfair?
It is not Seabass. Seabass was also a random Wolf of the Week, I believe, already.
Okay, my bad. My brain is mush.
Actually,
we shouldn't count that. We shouldn't count that then. Yeah, he was. He was the fourth ever random Wolf. So that guess, guess a player that's already been guessed, it doesn't count.
Fun fact, this random Wolf of the Week has been named to the Sporting News list of good guys in sports three times.
I didn't know that list existed. Now I got to check it out.
Three seasons with Wolves. Was he? Can I ask you a question? Was he drafted by the Wolves, or did he start his career with the Wolves, or are you not ready to give that clue yet?
I'm not ready to give that clue yet.
Okay.
it may be that's a clue. Okay. Should we get there?
That's fine.
In October of 2017, this random Wolf of the Week became an owner of his very own basketball franchise.
Oh, Stephen Marbury, China.
That is correct, Kyle. Stephen Marbury.
That's a good clue. That's wow. I do think I got to look this up, Ross. But I do think him and Sebastian Telfair.
Cousins. And,
okay, that.
Your cousins.
I also think they went to the same high school. I also think Lance Stevenson went to Abraham Lincoln High School.
Okay.
So just like small world. Sorry about that one. I had to flex on that. But that was good round.
I was about to guess Terrell Brandon, but then I was like, he's not 6'2".
And they were
dancing around. Yeah.
Did you have this random Wolf of the Week once went viral for eating Vaseline?
I just so you guys know, this has come up with other random Wolves of the Week aside from Antoine Walker, the slumlord. I try and leave low points out of people's life if they're tied to perhaps mental health or being in a bad spot.
That's a lot more noble than, I mean, I pulled Darren Sharper for a random Viking of the week.
Ross, you just made me look like a bad
Ross.
Oh. Would you have gotten, excuse me, still battling this?
Don't get choked up about this. The Wolves
it is an emotional day. It's an emotional day.
Yeah. I think you guys would have got this. I think this would have been the one that officially gave it away. If you're looking for affordable sneakers, this random of the Wolf.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Random Wolf of the Week just might be able to help. Anybody, you guys buy Starberries?
Haven't dabbled.
I did. I bought a pair. They looked nice. They felt terrible.
Yeah, well, they're like $30, right? Aren't they like
$14.98 is what they were when they first came on the market.
You got what you paid for.
Yeah. 100%.
Wow. I was just thinking, Phil. I was just sitting here. I know we're closing shop for the week, but we're 65 minutes in, and I told you 2 days ago I had a big rant for today. I'll have to save it for next week. But I'm thinking of inexpensive basketball shoes and the importance of youth basketball and.
Oh, yeah.
A little teaser for next week.
We should save it for Jim. Jim Pete will be back next week. You know, we'll save it for Jim. He's traveling today, probably for the best. So, all right. That's a wrap here today on Flagrant Howls. hopefully we got all that out of our system. And now we get to strap in for a 10-year legal battle, apparently, between Glenn Taylor, Alex Rodriguez, and Mark Laurie. He's Kyle Tige. I'm Phil Mackey for producer Ross. This is a Timberwolves Lifestyle podcast.